Wonderful praise today. I think it was a breakthrough for some folks today to be able to put their hand on the sacrifice and offer it to the Lord. Thank you for the worship singing. I know y'all are, we were able to get put our hand on it and say, Lord, this is my offering to you. These are the days of the Ezekiel. And this is the creed, Lord, that you're making. It's making us. We're not making this creed. It's making us. And thank you. We've lifted up the Lord, and the Lord, we've invited the Lord with us in the Lord's Supper. So Jesus is here. He's walking among us. And Lord, I pray, as we listen to your word, your proclamation of your word, may it continue to be going out today, that we can hear and have a breakthrough, Lord. A breakthrough like you broke through the tomb. A breakthrough like you blew out the tomb, Lord, with an empty tomb and then a risen life. Open our ears today, Lord. Be with us, walking with us. And Lord, we are grateful for this time together. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to continue a little bit with the resurrection. I can't get over it. So I'm not going to, I'm stuck on Romans 2:16. And we got to do a little bit more. John chapter 3. It's an amazing chapter. I want to look at a little word, a little phrase Jesus commented about his resurrection. You know, you can come up with all kinds of neat theological phrases. What was going on? What is going on with Jesus' ministry? And they're good. Some of them are really good. But Jesus himself made a comment about what's going on. And he says it so subtly, so easily, it's easy to overlook. But it is one of the most profound statements that keeps blowing my mind over and over. And I just want to, that's what I want to explore with you today. I first came across this statement living in Europe. I went to a evangelical church in a little cathedral. It's a big cathedral, but it's little compared to the Catholic one in town. So one day I wanted to go to the Catholic one. I went in that Catholic church just at 10 in the morning. Nobody's in there except people working on candles. And I look up. And there is a stained glass up here. It has a cross and a snake coiled around the cross and hanging over the cross. Like, that is the weirdest stained glass I've ever seen in Europe. I was like, there is a snake on a cross in this church. I thought, why? Is that biblical? And of course, I went back to my Bible and searched around. Now, some of you probably know what this verse is, but Jesus made a comment talking, and it's in John 3. 14, two verses before John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is one of those little, the fine print. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You mean Jesus is a snake? Well, metaphorically speaking, yes. Snakes are always evil. No, that snake on the cross is saving me. Really, truly. Jesus says, as the snake's lifted up in the wilderness, so am I lifted up. I'm like the snake in the wilderness. Because Jesus must be lifted up. This is what our talk's about today. Jesus must be lifted up, and it's on cards, and I'll use them here in a minute. But I have a few comments to make about it. Jesus must be lifted up. And real simple stuff, I want to explore it with you. I have a little meditation. All I know is a meditation. I wanted to write it out because I didn't want to fumble it all around about Jesus must be lifted up. And it goes through Jesus' life, and it points where he must be lifted up. So forgive me for reading, but I want you to be able to hear this. The baby Jesus must be lifted up. He is feared by King Herod the Great, who searches to kill him among the wee children of Bethlehem. He is worshipped by wise men from the east, bearing gifts fit for a king. The young Jesus must be lifted up. The teachers in the temple and all who heard the youth were amazed at his understanding and answers. Jesus, starting his ministry, must be lifted up. The greatest prophet of the time, John the Baptist, among whom no one was greater, born of a woman, said that Jesus must increase while he himself decreased. John proclaimed, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to unstrap. Jesus at his baptism must be lifted up, so that as he came up out of the waters and the heavens were torn open by the, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, a voice from heaven came at Jesus' baptism and said, "You're my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." Jesus performing the first of his miracles at Cana of Galilee, he must be lifted up. The head waiter judges, "You've kept the good wine until now." For Jesus had turned the ordinary into extraordinary, the water into the best wine. In his hometown where Jesus was born, or not born, but where he was raised, he was just Joseph the woodworker's son. He must be lifted up. So Jesus says, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And the people became angry and tried to stone him, for they had enthroned another in their hearts. Jesus encounters a man possessed by legion, and Jesus must be lifted up. So legion comes and falls at Jesus' feet, crying out, "What have you to do with me, Son of the Most High God?" And Jesus freed him from the demons, and the man was sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, walks by the blind man Bartimaeus, who must lift Jesus up, who kept crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," so much everybody, the disciples got mad and said, "Shut up." They were telling the guy, "Shut up, you're making too much noise." And Jesus comes and he hushes the disciples, and he was heard by Jesus, who said, "You're saying the right thing, what do you need?" He healed his sight. Jesus approaches his good friends Mary and Martha, who had lost their brother, and Jesus' friend Lazarus. And Jesus must be lifted up, but not in ways that we always expect. So he discloses, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem on a donkey, the humble acclamation of a kingly Messiah. And the people lift Jesus up, saying, hailing him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And if the people had not praised him, the stones would have cried out. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane must be lifted up, but in unexpected ways. So Judas comes and hands Jesus over to the authorities by a betraying kiss. And Jesus' prayer is answered, that God's will is lifting up the cup of suffering. Jesus is brought before Herod and Pilate, and by the leaders of the people in Israel, and they refuse to honor him as Lord and Master, but still Jesus must be lifted up. So they all and we gladly send him out to Golgotha to be lifted up on a cross. Jesus on the cross is lifted up, but he still must be lifted up, on the cross lifted up. A centurion with a pouch, with a denarius in it, with Caesar's picture on it that says Caesar's the Son of God. He's very happy. That's who pays his pay. Looks and sees Jesus on that cross. Truly, this is the Son of God. A centurion lifts up Jesus. Jesus is buried and must be lifted up. So he is buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, waiting 3 days for the Lord God's verdict. And on the third day, Jesus must be lifted up. For the Lord found Jesus faithful in all he did, and the Lord did not abandon him to the grave, but raised him from the dead, vindicated Messiah. And Jesus lifted up, must still be lifted up. He appears to his disciples. He prepares them as the new creation to seed his kingdom all over the earth. And Jesus is lifted up to the Father's right hand in ascension. And his blessed Holy Spirit makes the church his temple. Yes, Jesus must be lifted up so that his people may learn to lift him up daily and worldwide, that he may come again in a last lifting up where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. I just had to write that out because it just blows me away. Blows me away. I want to just go with, I just want to meditate a little bit, and it won't be probably very long, about Jesus must be lifted up. And I want to focus first on the lifted part. He was lifted. Now, if you came up here and lifted me, I don't know if one could do it. It might take several of you. But I wouldn't help you very much, especially because I'm kind of hurt a little bit. So I wouldn't help you a whole lot at all. And Jesus was kind of hurt really bad. He wasn't going to help a whole lot of lifting either. He rested on the Lord. Yeah. He was dependent. I don't know how he did it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene on how did he depend? How did he learn how to be dependent? I mean, it's easy for a child. I learned how when I was a child. But Jesus is God coming in a man. How did he learn how to depend on others and depend on, how did he do that? He did it. He learned how to depend on God, and he did it because he emptied himself, and we know the big scriptures. He emptied himself and became a man, took on a man, and he received baptism of the Holy Spirit for his ministry, and the Spirit led him places and did things. This lifting, he was depending on God. And that was a big deal with Jesus. I cannot tell you how big a deal it was, so much so he was excited that we're going to receive the Spirit. He says, don't be afraid, I'm going away. For me, I don't want Jesus to ever go away. Jesus, don't go. Don't go. He says, you want me to go away? No, I don't. He says, yes, you do. And I said, well, why, Jesus? Because if I can go, you'll get the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Jesus? Well, he's talking about the days of Elijah, which we sang about today. And what are the days of Elijah? Are like the days of Ezekiel and the prophets, and God is moving. And Ezekiel is a huge... Let me just read you about Ezekiel. It's about the Spirit. Ezekiel says to the people who had terrible problems, I will sprinkle... I'm in chapter 36, verse 25, and you don't have to look it up, but that's in case you do. More, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. That's good news, kind of, because they're in trouble because of idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This was an age people were hungry for. I'm talking hungry because it had been so dry. They had walked in such dry lands. You know, if you don't live in a desert area, you don't appreciate water much. You live in the desert, it's like, we have rain all the time here. But when you don't see, when things won't even grow because there's no, like, water is so precious. The Spirit's like water. They had lived for 300 years without water of the Holy Spirit. They're like, Lord, just tear the heavens open and come down. We are just desperate for your Spirit. Well, Jesus said, the age of the Spirit's coming because what's going on? I'm going to give you the Spirit. He has poured the Spirit on me. I'm going to baptize you in the Spirit. And it's going to be a good and great thing. The Spirit is who you want with you. It's the age of the Spirit. And the age of the Spirit's connected to the next chapter, verse 30, chapter 37. Listen to this. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel still. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among around about them, and very many were on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you're the one that knows that. And again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and said to him, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I'll put sinews onto you and flesh back on you, cover you with skin so you may come to life and that you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied the word of the Lord, and he saw resurrection. Resurrection. The Lord by his Spirit. And of course, this is what's going on with Jesus. It's the age of the Spirit. And it is so rich and deep. What does it mean? Well, Paul makes a real little aside in Ephesians 1. We were talking about it yesterday. A delightful retreat. And I want you to know about our retreat. There's some guys here that are listening to the Lord. And they have a lot of wisdom to teach. I'm up here teaching, but let me tell you, there's a lot of teaching that could go around in this church. The Lord has not left us wanting in any way, shape, or form. And I'm just proud to be, you know, I learned a lot yesterday. Well, the one thing we were talking about is just Ephesians 1. Paul says, I want you, church, to know the power of the Lord who raised Jesus from the dead. I want you to know the Spirit, who is the very Spirit that happened to raise Jesus from the dead. Do you need some power? I do. Do you need strength? You know, when we talked last week about the car, you know, I like, are you driving that car 160 miles an hour? Or are you in the kitchen? Are you cooking a real feast? Of course, the kitchen's got to have some gas, and the car's got to have some fuel. And Jesus says, you know, I'm not going to let you do this great life without some power. As a matter of fact, disciples go and wait in Jerusalem for the power to come on high. And the Spirit came on them, and the world has never been the same since. They turned the world upside down. And the Lord is pouring the Spirit upon us. Now, we don't talk. We have a tradition of not talking about it. We don't talk about the Spirit. But look, that doesn't mean the Spirit's not working. It doesn't mean He's not working. But it is how Jesus lived that life. It's how He had to be lifted. He learned dependency on God. And His dependency was through the Holy Spirit. That's how He lived every day. And the Spirit led Him to... You know, Jesus wasn't just... He prayed all the time. But it was the Spirit in Him wanting Him to pray all the time, crying back to God, Abba, Father. He was following the Spirit. If you have a prayer issue, and I can say that I know the prayer issue, it's hard sometimes to pray. It's most often a Spirit issue. I grieve the Spirit. If you will let the Spirit lead you, and I'm talking about don't be stiff-necked, uncircumcised, you know, let the Lord moving you to do it, pray. Oh, I don't want to pray in my car. Well, just pray. Turn the radio, whatever. Just go with the Spirit. He will never lead you wrong. But He's leading you into this dependent life. Radical reliance on God. That's Jesus. He's lifted up. Another one. He must be lifted up. Well, I thought Jesus is about as high as you could get. Well, you're right, except He humbled Himself and took on the form of a slave and then became obedient unto death. It gets lower and lower. Not just any kind of death, a brutal death. Not just any kind of brutal death, the most ugly death in the Roman Empire, one of the most ugly deaths ever lived. But to be, for Jesus to be lifted up, He had that implies a understanding of where He came from. He's going back up to where He was and more. This is a high view of Jesus for Him to be lifted up. He came down for us. Jesus must be lifted up. Now, the must part is amazing. There was a cat on my farm that came out of nowhere, and I was like living down there by myself, and I thought, this is cool. I'm going to try to tame this cat. It was a Seal Point Siamese, and that cat was wild as a marsh hare. And it took him 3 weeks to even come near me. And it was like Dances with Wolves, the movie. I'd put the food out there, and he'd come and then run off. And it's like, finally, I got to pet that cat. And the more I got to working with that cat, some days he didn't like to be petted, and he would claw me. And I'm talking, his claws were sharp. He hadn't worn them. It hurt so bad. I was like, oh, my goodness. He, like, bled me just, like, in a second. You know, it's like, but I kept working with his cat, and I kept getting scratched. And finally, we had a relationship, and a matter of speaking. I know some people hate cats, but I love cats. I like dogs too. God wants to get close to us. God really wants to get close to us, but you know what? We're going to scratch. And God knows it. And we're going to bite. We're going to kick. And we're going to kill. The K word. Jesus, I don't want you that close to me. I'll go kill you. He knew it. He knew he must be lifted up. And of course, you see Jesus' code word, lifted up means he comes to us and he's going to get lifted up on a cross, but he's going to also be buried and get lifted up to resurrection, and he's also going to be resurrected and lifted up to ascension, and then he's going to come back and he's going to get lifted up again when every knee... It's just multiple liftings up. Jesus saw it. What a beautiful concept. He understood what it was about. But he also knew that lifting up meant pain. Because people that you love may cost you something. I would love... It's always fun to have... I know some people who adopted a child. Not here, and I don't think anybody here would know. And they thought it would be fun. And they had three BMWs. And so it's like... It was a good thing. They were good intentions, but the child was misbehaving and disrespectful and took a lot of trouble. And they gave the child back. In a manner of speaking, they said, we're not fit parents. Because love and getting close to that child had a great cost. They weren't ready for it. But God is ready. He knows I must be lifted. It's a necessity. And it's... So that's... The Lord knew what he was getting into. I'm going to get close to humans. Must be lifted up. That's the human condition. He was ready for it. And it's prophecy all over the place. Well, where is it prophesied Jesus is going to rise from the dead? Well, it's not kind of... It's hinted at. And it's all these neat places. When you start reading the scriptures, it's there. It's in the suffering servants of Isaiah, where it says that before glory, my glorious servant will suffer and be beat up and bloody. Isaiah 53. You know, I will just take you, and but I will not abandon my son to Sheol. Well, you won't abandon him. What does that mean? He'll go to Sheol? Maybe, but I won't abandon him there. 3 days. Oh, yeah. And you can go on. I'm not going to unpack all these prophecies for you, but they're there. And Jesus got them. He knew that he must be lived. It's a necessity. It's a necessity. Jesus must be lifted up. Now, well, that's a, you know, kind of obvious, right? You know, but we don't always, you know, a lot of times it's a blank for us. You know, like X. Who do I lift up? Humans must lift up somebody. It's like this. I don't know if you like all these Thomas Cuskane novels, you know, Captain Horatio Hornblower and all those novels. Brilliant stuff about the sea. And every ship has a flag. Now, they don't always fly their flags. But if they're not, it's because they're making a point. And they can also be fired upon as pirates when they're not flying their flag. Every ship flies a flag. What is your flag? When you run it up, when you run your flag up, it's what you're about. It's your crest. It's everything about you. And, you know, I love seeing the American flag on places and I'm around, you know, away from it. I'm like, oh, there's my flag. Oh, I feel at home. It's your flag. You know, and is it the Love Boat? I mean, that's a great ship. Don't get me wrong. You know, the cruise ships are great ships. Or the P, the pleasure. So you're going to be out there. But if the sea gets a little rough, I'm going to go find a shore. I'm not going to be out here when it's little waves get over 10 feet high. I'm the pleasure boat. You know, what's your flag? Just the big M? Me. I'm an adventurer. I'm a Greenpeace adventurer. You know, it's like, well, that's cool. I like that kind of nature conservancy stuff. But it's like, do you ever help anybody? Really? You know, I mean, you saved that whale, but did you save the... You know, people over here starving in Argentina and Chile. Oh, I mean, I'm busy with this Japanese thing over here. I mean, what is your ship saying? What are you sailing? And what does your flag say? Just asking. You know, what is your flag? And I know in this room, there's a lot of you that you could truly say, and you do, and you live it out. Christ is on your flag. It's beautiful. You encourage me. Because Christ is on your flag. And I thank you. I love standing with you. And I love seeing you sail with the flag of Christ. And you're doing great, and I thank you. So But who are we sailing? And I'm always going to ask myself, because I like to, you know, I have some other flags in the, I got the Christ flag up, but I do have those other flags in a bunker down there, and I can pull them back out and look at them. Those are kind of pretty, you know. Remember, whoever's flag you're flying, Jesus must be lifted up. Always keep it in mind. I want to play another flag up there. Jesus must be lifted up. Why his flag? He will be lifted up. Always keep that in mind. Last thing. The B part, I didn't get to the B. So there's the B. Be lifted up. Now, I know we're talking about Jesus being lifted up, but I'm asking you now to be lifted up. Because as many of you as who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. You're also buried with him by baptism into death, and you were, what, we raised with him, buried with him, raised with him to walk in newness of life? These are scriptures you know. Paul is telling us, be lifted up. This is good news. This is good news because we could use some lifting up. And it has to do with things that get you down. What holds you down? What gets you down? What takes you down? Jesus says, be lifted up. It could be a sin. It could be a sin that has troubled you for the last 10 years. It could be a sin that's troubled you for the last 30 years. Be lifted up. Jesus wants to deal with it. And I just pray that his Spirit will help you today more than ever before. Because sometimes we try to do it in our own power or we forget, well, Lord, I know that you did this and look how good you are. I forgot, though, you got the power of the Spirit. I forgot about the power of the Spirit. I've had a lot of trouble. Be lifted up. I got a lot of things going ahead of me this week. I have a new job. I have this concern. I have this relationships going to pot. I've got, be lifted up. Jesus wants to lift you up. Be lifted up. He's working on it. Take the power of the Spirit. Be encouraged. Let him lift you up. So Jesus must be lifted up. It is the greatest news.